He is righteous. He is holy. He is pure. And so when we talk about relating to Him, righteousness is a part of that. But Jesus talked about in this verse, righteousness, rightness with God, that surpasses or goes beyond that of the scribes and Pharisees. So what is that? I want to suggest some things that I think would relate to that. So if you're writing in on your notes, the first thing you write in is recognize that righteousness comes from the heart. Recognize that righteousness comes from the heart. When Jesus talked about righteousness exceeding the scribes and Pharisees, they were doing a lot of things, but they were doing them as ritual or routine. They were doing them more as a system of things rather than from the heart itself. And so our righteousness comes from what we are inside and our relationship to Christ, not from the external things. That righteousness inside results in things outside and actions. That's true, but it starts. It comes from the heart. Let me read this passage from Romans. But what does it say? The word is near you in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we are preaching. That if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart a person believes, resulting in righteousness, and with the mouth he confesses, resulting in salvation. This scripture passage says the word of faith. We confess with our mouth and we believe in our heart. We cry out to God for forgiveness and for grace. And He saves us. He makes us His children. It's because it said when we believe with our heart, the result is righteousness. So it's more than just doing stuff. It is more than showing up on Sundays. It's more than reading your Bible. It's more than being a good neighbor. It's more than all those kind of things. It's more than being honest. It is a transformation that comes within us because of our relationship to Jesus Christ. And so he said, we believe in our heart, and we believe in Christ, resulting in righteousness, and we confess that with our mouth, resulting in salvation. So when we talk about righteousness exceeding that of the scribes and Pharisees, we're talking about actions that come from within. We may do the same kind of things, but our motivation is different. And our reason for doing it. It seems to me that when Jesus talked about the scribes and Pharisees, and in Matthew 23, he has a whole lot to say about them, critical of them as their religious leaders. He was saying one of the things, I think, righteousness that exceeds their righteousness is a righteousness that comes from the heart. What I mean by that is that they were doing all the stuff because they were supposed to do all the stuff. And then they had added new dimensions to how that was to be lived out. And if you're familiar with it, they were adding how you'd fulfill that into nth detail and made it a burden rather than a law, rather than a truth that God wanted them to fulfill. And so they had added to it. That's why Jesus criticized them. We'll talk more about that as we go. But as a believer in Christ, we do those things that we do because of Jesus in us. When it comes to be coming to God's house for worship, we come not because we have to, but because we want to. When it comes to being kind to our neighbor, it's not because it's a law that says we have to be kind to our neighbor, but the Spirit of God, Christ lives in us, a righteousness that it manifests itself in being kind to our neighbor. And you can go down the list of all the things that you might think of that a righteous person ought to do. But we do it because Christ has transformed us. Another way of thinking it is, Jesus loved us enough to die on the cross for us. And when you realize that, the more we realize that, I think, the more that sinks into our being, how much God loved us in Christ and died for us, and I begin to get a hold of that, then I want to respond in return to love to Him and say, God, if that's what you want, you died for me, you gave everything for me, you love me, I want to love you back by doing what you ask me to do. It's out of that love relationship. So the righteousness that comes by faith in Christ results in receiving the love that God has given us, and out of that, responding in love to say, God, that's what you want, I'll do it. It changes the perspective. It doesn't always change the outward actions. You can do all the things without wanting to do them from the heart. Now, some people would say, well, if you don't really believe it or don't think it, don't why do it? And I realize that that's not good either. But I want to do it because Christ prompts me to. Now, if I find that I'm not coming to worship because I want to, but because I have to in my spirit, what do I do? Do I quit coming to worship? Do I say, okay, I'm just not going because I'm not going with the right motivation? Or do we say, Lord, change my heart, change my mind, change my relationship so that I'm doing it because I love you and I want to be there? Or when it talks about the right kind of living, right attitude, and if my attitude is wrong, do I just say, well, I'm just going to quit because I got a bad attitude? No, we come to the Holy One who lives in us and say, God, change my attitude so that I'm in harmony with what you want, rather than just quitting or giving up on it or whatever. So it's not a matter of just stopping because I might not have the right motivation. It's rather allowing that motivation, that searching my heart and realizing why I'm doing it is not where it ought to be, and ask Jesus to change that within me so that I'm doing the law, that I'm doing what God requires, out of love for Him and out of a heart that's yielded to Him and out of the power of the Spirit that lives within us. And so we live that way because of that. So I recognize righteousness is in here. It starts in here, in my relationship and in your relationship to Jesus as I receive Him as Savior and Lord. So because of that, the second thing that I suggest is I ask Jesus to make my heart righteous. I ask Jesus to make my heart righteous. Right with Him. I'm reminded the only way you and I'll ever be right with God is Jesus. God did not give us a list that said, now if you'll go to so many services, read so many Bible verses, be kind to your neighbor and do all the other stuff, if you get all that done, then you can be right with me. Because He knew that even at our best, we don't quite make it. If we're honest with ourselves, we are never fully righteous in our own doing. We miss the mark. So I ask Jesus to change my heart, to make my heart righteous, right with Him, in tune with Him. The scripture passage says, more than that, I count all things to be loss in view of the surpassing value, knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I suffer the loss of all things and count them but rubbish, so that I may gain Christ. And may be found in Him, not having a righteousness of my own, derived from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ. The righteousness that comes from God on the basis of faith. I am so glad that God made a way for us to be righteous, and not in our own doing, but in His grace. Now think about it. Suppose God had said to us, now, you got to keep good enough, and you got to be right enough with me, and you got to work all that out on your own to get to heaven. Where would we be? Because the Bible says that our righteousness, this passage said, He said, I count, suffer the loss of all things and count them but what? Rubbish, garbage, King James says manure. My righteousness just doesn't cut it. And so I come to Jesus and say, Jesus, I have placed my faith in You and I ask You to come and live in my heart and life, and I receive a righteousness from God that is given to me on the basis of faith in Jesus. Now, that always makes sense to the human mind, because the human mind thinks, well, I've got to do a lot of stuff and earn it. But God says, no, you receive it by faith in Me. Notice He said, a righteousness that comes from God on the basis of faith. At our best time in our life, at our highest moment, how righteous are we? How good are we really? If we're in our top-notch level where we think we can be the best, are we still falling short a little bit? But He said, through faith in Christ, there's righteousness. There's a transformation that comes. When it comes to Jesus, who He is, who He was, and who He still is, how righteous is Jesus? What level does He achieve? Okay, he's all the way. Now, when I receive Christ and his righteousness, God doesn't credit my righteousness to myself, but he takes the righteousness of Jesus through faith in him. He takes the righteousness of Jesus and credits it to my and your account and counts us as righteous as Jesus is. And therefore, we're declared righteous because we are in Christ. Not because we did a bunch of stuff or we achieved a certain level. Now, that ought to result in a change of life. And I'll talk more about that in a minute. But I asked Jesus to make my heart righteous. So if I don't like what my heart's doing, if I don't like my motivation, if I find that there are things happening to me and attitudes I've got that I don't like, it means I need to come back to the Savior and say, God, I need you to change this in my heart. It's not a matter of changing habits. It isn't just a matter of starting doing something different. It's a matter of saying, God, change me in here, because when I'm changed in here, it's going to come out here. And when I deal with it out here only, I'm in trouble, because the issue isn't always what's out here. The issue is what's going on inside me that's causing me to do that or act in a certain way that's contrary to God's Word. But I ask Jesus to change my heart. Can he do that? Can he make you kind? Can he make you forgiving? Can he make you loving? Can he make you honest? We can go on and on. So I come to him and say, Jesus, my life, I want to line it up with you by your righteousness and help me to live that way because you're there. So I ask Jesus to make my heart righteous. The next thing is related to what I'm just saying. Live out of my righteous heart. Live out of my righteous heart. Now, let me ask you, are you righteous? Are you righteous? Now, I see some heads shaking no. Now, let me ask you something. Does Jesus live in you? Are you saved? Is his righteousness credited to your account? So does he make you righteous? So you are righteous if you're a child of God. You may not always behave that way, but you're that way and you need to learn to behave who you are, not who you're not. Make sense? I saw somebody saying, It doesn't mean you're not righteous. It means you're not living out what you already are by following the obedience to Christ and allowing His Spirit to work in you. It's not that you're not that way, but that you're not living that way. And so, I need to accept the fact that in Christ I am righteous. I'm not perfect in myself. I'm not saying that. I'm not saying I'm sinless. I wish I was, but I'm not. And we will not be in this life. But in God's direction, through the righteousness of Jesus being applied to us, I am a new creation in Christ, and therefore you and I are righteous in Jesus. Therefore, we are to live righteous and let that be the character of our life. So, what I'm saying is, I'm going to live out of who I already am in Christ, not to get there, but because I am there in Jesus. My behavior changes, not because it's forced out here, but because of the one who lives in me, and I'm trying to obey him and yield to him and let him help me live righteous. Let me read the passage in the scripture that's at the bottom of your notes on that side. And this I pray, that your love may abound still more and more in real knowledge and in all discernment, so that you may approve the things that are excellent, in order to be sincere and blameless until the day of Christ, having been filled with the fruit of righteousness, which comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. So I pray that your love will abound more and more in knowledge and discernment, that you approve the things that are excellent, be sincere and blameless until the day of Christ, and be filled with the fruit of righteousness, which comes what? Through Christ Jesus, to the glory and praise of God. In other words, the things that he does through us, the character qualities he develops in us, are to his credit. Because those things that are good and desirable and that are characteristic of God that worked in our life are not our doing. They're his doing in us because we yield to him. I've commented before, to me it's amazing. We come to Christ knowing we need him as Savior. He forgives us, and he credits his righteousness to us. Then we yield to Him and say, God, work in my life. And He works through us to do the various things that we ought to be doing as a Christian and serving Him. But He's the one doing it through us because we yield to Him, let Him work in us through us by obedience to Him. And then when we get to heaven, He credits us for what He did through us. And actually, He did it. But we get credit for it. You realize that? It's not what we do. What we produce in our own strength is not godly. It is not going to be eternal. It's only through the strength of Jesus in us and our yielding to Him and He working through us and our yieldedness. And then He blesses us by letting Him work through us and gives us credit for what He did. Hallelujah. It's marvelous. Now, I know some of you are thinking about that, but that's okay. But I will live out of what Christ has already done in me. The devil comes to all of us, I think, and says, well, you didn't behave right yesterday, or you thought this thought, or you did that which was wrong, so you must be bad. You must not be a Christian. And you need to turn around and say, wait a minute, that was a wrong action or a wrong behavior, but it's not a characteristic of who I am. I am a child of God. I have been redeemed by the blood of Jesus. His righteousness has been credited to me. Therefore, I'm righteous, and I'm not going to listen to you. I'm going to turn and live in the righteous path that God called me to live. Yes, I was wrong, but I'm going to turn and do what's right by the power of Christ in me. Because the devil, I think, defeats a lot of us because we get out of line somewhere along the way. And he bombards us with all our guilt because we disobeyed instead of saying, God, forgive me. And He forgave me, and I'm a new creation. And I'm going to go on and live in the righteousness of Jesus. I'm not going to live in that ungodly state. I'm not going to allow that to keep me from serving the Lord anymore. Because I'm righteous. God, Jesus, in me will help me do that. So when you talk about righteousness exceeding the scribes and Pharisees, he's talking about righteousness that goes beyond the human level, beyond what we can achieve on ourselves, and living that out day by day. On the other side of your notes, follow the righteousness found in God's Word. Follow the righteousness found in God's Word. The scripture passage says, He was also saying to them, you are experts at setting aside the commandments of God in order to keep your tradition. For Moses said, honor your father and mother, and he who speaks evil of father and mother is to be put to death. But you say, if a man says to his father or his mother, whatever I have that would help you is korban, that is to say, given to God, you no longer permit him to do anything for his father or mother, thus invalidating the word of God by your tradition, which you have handed down, and you do many such things such as that. Now that's what Jesus is saying to the scribes and Pharisees. He said, you set aside the commandments of God for your own tradition, for your own system. Because he uses the illustration, God said through Moses, you honor father and mother, but they were saying, well, if you dedicate that to God, you don't have to take care of God and honor your father and mother, so you can ignore that commandment. Here's what I'm suggesting. And I think our righteousness has to be according to the scriptures as we read scriptures by scriptures. What these individuals were doing, scribes and Pharisees, took a lot of scriptures and in the Old Testament laws and added a whole bunch of stuff from human level to how that was to be lived out and became a burden instead of what God wanted. What I'm suggesting to you and I is, God help me to take the word, as it is, and not try to add a whole lot to it or take a whole lot from it. Because sometimes I can take scripture and I can sort of make it say what I want it to say if I want to, instead of listening to what the Scripture itself says within the context of Scripture. That's what I think when he said righteousness exceeding the scribes and the Pharisees, he was saying a righteousness that takes God's Word as it is, into the Word as he said it, and let that to be the guide for my life without me trying to add to or take from. Do you ever find yourself reading a Scripture passage and thinking, well, let's see, how can I get around this? Or, well, I don't have to quite do it that way. I don't think the devil always gets us to say, well, I'm not going to do it. He just causes us to think, well, let's see, maybe I could do it this way instead. Instead of just saying, okay, when God says it in His Word, we look at what it says. And if we're not sure about it, the best place to look for a scripture passage is where? If you're looking for the truth of a Bible passage, where are you going to look? Back in the Bible. What does the other scripture say about that same area? Don't just take time to say, well, let's see, I think it means whatever. We get into trouble when we just look at Scripture and say, well, I think. Instead of saying, this is what it says, and reading what it says, and putting it together with the rest of what it says, and saying, God, help me. So what I see in that, when Jesus said to the scribes and the Pharisees, he said, your righteousness has to exceed theirs, because all they're doing is their own interpretation of what the Word says, instead of believing the Word for what it is. And so he said, he's saying to us, take the Word, believe it, read it, study it. And I've challenged you before, I'll do it again. I hope you're reading the Word, and I hope you check out everything I tell you today. You'll see if I told you the truth or not. I don't know how many of you ever check out what the preacher says, but I hope you do. Because he might be wrong. He is human, and he could make mistakes. I don't plan on it, don't intend to, but you don't know unless you go check it out and see. Is that what the Bible really says, or is he just up there beating his gums about something? So he said, your righteousness has to exceed that of scribes and Pharisees, which means it has to come from the heart. It has to be lived that out. It has to be true to the Scriptures and not something that I said. There is a saying that I grew up with that says, the Bible says every tub sits on its own bottom. Every tub sits on its own bottom. It's not in the Bible. But people would say that. You got to check it out for yourself. That was a common thing. Where I know some of you don't. I grew up in Kentucky 100 years ago, I know. But Jesus said to them in this passage, you say, but the Word says, honor your father and mother, period. It didn't say get around it. And that's true of all Scripture. So we're saying, God, help us. Now, Jesus said to them and to us, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and Pharisees, what? This is an awesome statement here. Unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and Pharisees, you will not enter the kingdom of heaven. Now, is that serious or not? It needs to be beyond the surface. It needs to be beyond the motion, the outside action. That needs to be a heart issue. Because Jesus said, if our righteousness is not more than what they do, you will not make it. And that's serious. The passage I listed on your notes is something Jesus also said about that. And he also told this parable to some people who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and viewed others with contempt. Two men went up into the temple to pray, one a Pharisee, the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood and was praying this to himself, God, I thank you that I'm not like other people, swindlers, unjust, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I pay tithes of all that I get. But the tax collector, standing some distance away, was even unwilling to lift up his eyes to heaven, but was beating his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, the sinner. I tell you, this man went to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled. He who humbles himself will be exalted. My righteousness has to be a righteousness of the heart. Jesus talked about the two men, the one who came and said, God, I'm pretty good. I got it all together. We'd say, I got all my ducks in a row. I'm all right. And then the other man came, wouldn't even look up to heaven, said, God, be merciful to me, the sinner. Which one went home right with God? Jesus said, the one who cried out for righteousness. He said, God, be merciful to me, sinner. That those who humble themselves will be exalted, and those who exalt themselves will be humbled. So I ask myself, Lord, am I more righteous than the scribes and Pharisees? Am I doing stuff just out of routine? Or am I doing it from the heart? Am I showing up on Sundays just because I got to or because I want to? Am I reading the Word because I want to or because I feel like I got to? Am I being kind to my neighbor because I'm obligated or because I want to? Am I being honest in my business dealings because I want to or because it's expected of me? Am I loving my husband or wife because I feel like I ought to or because God caused me to want to? To me, that's righteousness exceeding the scribes and Pharisees. They could do all the routine stuff, but there was nothing inside. There was no heart to it. My prayer is today, do you know Jesus? Do you have a righteousness exceeding that of the scribes and Pharisees? Do you have a relationship with Jesus in which you know that goes beyond the outside surface, that's inside, that's true and related to God? I hope you do. And it's a joy to know that. But I'm praying, God, help me and help us together to live that out every day. To not just say I am, but to live that out so that the world sees the righteousness of Jesus in me and in us as a church body, and they want what He is. Now, if you're here without Jesus and don't have it, it's available. It's available through Jesus Christ who died on the cross. That by faith in Him, you can be forgiven and saved and have His righteousness applied to you. That's the good news. And if you're not living it out as a Christian, the good news is He's there to help you do it. He's there to change your heart, change your mind, change your attitude, so that we're living that out better than the scribes and the Pharisees ever did. The world thought, the people thought the scribes and the Pharisees are pretty good people. The culture around him would say, oh, these are really wonderful men, particular men. And Jesus said, you can have more righteousness. You've got to have this from the heart. So my prayer is that we'll seek God, search our heart, and we'll have it open to you. Let's bow together. Would you ask Jesus to become your Lord and Savior if you've not done so? Recognizing that He died for you on the cross and that you need His righteousness. The only way you'll get to heaven is through what He did. And you're asking Him to come, take over your life, help you begin to live godly. Many of us would say we've already met Jesus. We belong to Him. Would you ask Him to help you live more godly than ever before? To live out the righteousness of God exceeding that of scribes and Pharisees. Ask Him to search our heart, my heart. You ask Him to search yours. God, are there things that need to be changed? Are there attitudes that need to be different? Are there steps I need to take that are not, that will change my life for you? The good news is He's there to help you do that. He didn't ask us to do any of this without Himself being there to assist us by faith in Jesus to do that. There may be other decisions Christ has placed on your heart today. Listen to Him. Yield to Him. Give your heart and life to Him. Father, thank You for Your presence and thank You for giving us the good news that in Jesus we can live with righteousness surpassing that of the scribes and Pharisees. Thank You, Lord, that's available to each of us through Christ. Help each person to choose that way today. And God, You know what needs to change, what needs to happen in each of our hearts this day. So we commit these moments of decision to You, believing that You are speaking, You are here, and we are saying yes to what You're saying to us in our heart. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to stand and sing. Pastor Ryan will be here to assist. I'll be here. Share with any decision. Would you stand?